week, and when you look at the word royalty, who or what do you think of?
King and queen.
King and queen, who else? Princes. Yeah, we think of people who are at the top, right? And there are all sorts of royalty, right? There is, who is the king and queen in England?
Charles and
Camilla. Charles and, is it Camilla or Camilla?
Camilla.
Camilla? Is that, that's the little lizard, right? No, that's wrong. Camilla. Well, we also have, there was the king of rock and roll, who was?
Elvis.
And then there was the king of pop, who was? Michael Jackson. But more to my heart, there was the king of polka. Nobody knows the king of polka?
Polka.
Polka. Yeah.
The dance polka?
Yeah.
The dance polka.
No, no, not poker. Polka. Yeah, it could be, that could be a little different. Jan Levonsky. He is the king of polka. There's actually a movie about him. Don't waste your time. But there are these kings, and when you are, there are people who are at the top, and they are the royalty. But then that royalty sort of rubs off on the people around them, doesn't it? The person who helps them, they sort of get some of the benefits of being a royalty. And we're going to talk about a guy who worked for a king. And he was one of the king's men. But he had a problem. And his problem was made worse. Do you ever have a problem? Have you ever had a problem? And then something comes along that makes your problem worse?
Yes.
It sort of compounds your problem. You know, it's like this week. I've been riding my bike every day, and all of a sudden, the rear tire starts to lose air yet again. So I listened to Carl, is look for a thorn, right? Well, I found a thorn, and I pulled it out, and it stuck in my finger. And then the green slime. Do you know what green slime in a tire is about?
Yes.
It's a mess, yes. But what it does is, when we lived in Arizona, there are lots of cactus. And so you put this in your tire, and it's called green slime. That's what it's called. You put it inside the, first of all, you got to take out the little thing, the valve. Valve stem, valve core. I'm impressed. This technical knowledge. You got to take that out, then you put this stuff in, and then you spin the tire to spread it around, and it sort of self-seals. So when there is a puncture, like a thorn, it will find it and fill it up. So when I take the thorn out, Some of the green stuff starts coming out.
That's a good sign.
Well, maybe. So I refilled the tire, but now I have this weight over my head. Is it going to hold? Am I going to be out riding and then it's going to go flat?
Did you spin it?
Oh yeah, I spin it, baby. Yeah, spin. But there's, it's one thing after another. The thorn, and but now is it really going to hold? And this guy, this king's man, had a problem, and it was compounding. And one of the things that compounded his problem is geography, is that he was living, this is Israel, and on the upper right-hand side, he was in Capernaum. And he heard that Jesus was in Cana, which is about 20, 25 miles southeast. And what had happened was, this problem is that his son is sick. His son is not just sick, his son is dying. and getting worse. And so he hears that Jesus is 20, 25 miles. So his problem is how to get there. How do you get there back then? A lot of walk.
Chariot,
maybe. Somebody carry you. But you got to understand, this is what the roads were like, okay? There's no paving. These weren't the Roman roads. These were just back. These were trails. These were glorified trails. And he didn't know. He had this idea. You see, he had heard that Jesus had been in Jerusalem, and people who saw him and heard Jesus got all excited, and they brought all this information back. And so when Jesus arrived in Galilee, everybody welcomed him. And why did they welcome him?
They had seen and heard all he had done in Jerusalem.
They were eyewitnesses. Now, this guy wasn't an eyewitness. He was up taking care of his boy. He didn't go to Jerusalem. He didn't see what was going on. But what happens when somebody does something great and that reputation starts to spread? What happens?
People admire him.
Admire him?
Yeah,
it gets more embellished. Yeah, you polish that chrome carburetor, don't you? You know, the story gets bigger. I know nobody has ever gone fishing about the fish was this big. You know, no poking. Yeah, they had seen everything that Jesus had done. And think about the things Jesus did down there. We don't have time, but Jesus saw that people were selling and animals and things, and they were making money, and they were overcharging, and they were changing. Because you could only deal in a certain currency, they were ripping people off. It's like when you go to the store and they start adding all these fees on it. You know what that's like? You feel good about that too, right? Well, that's what these people were doing. And Jesus gets so aggravated at them because where are they doing this? In the temple. So what does Jesus do? Does he say, oh, excuse me there, fellas. You really shouldn't be doing that. Is that how Jesus reacts?
He got mad.
He gets mad, and what does he do?
Overturn the tables.
He does that, but before he does that, he makes a whip. He takes some cord and he wraps it a certain way and he turns it into a whip. He makes a whip out of cords and he drives them out. And then he does the overturning and the money goes, you know, I don't know if you've ever, the last time you were in a casino, but imagine being in a casino with all those chips and money on the table and somebody flips the table. It goes scrambling. And that's what happened there. Now, these people were all in Jerusalem because that was the time they celebrated the Passover. The Passover was what? Do you remember what the Passover was? I'm sorry?
Blood on the lentil.
What's a lentil? Isn't that the little seed pod?
That's over your head.
Okay, it's on the door jams. How about I say the door jams, either side and the top. And why did they do that? That's right. And it was a promise of God so that this was how they were going to end their slavery and get out of Egypt and go to the promised land. And this was something they did. Every year they celebrated it. And so that's where Jesus was. I mean, that's where all these people went, and people were there celebrating, and this is where Jesus showed his power, not just verbally, but in what he said and did. And then this royal official hears about everything Jesus had done. He heard about it. And what's going on in his life? His son is dying. So think about it. Here's this guy. He's an official. He's a pretty big deal. He's a pretty big deal in the government, in the society. But he has this pain, doesn't he? His son is sick. And he hears about this Jesus. He hears about him. And what does he do after he hears about him? He hears about him. I'm on the wrong thing. He hears about him, and then he goes to him. You got to go to him before you can beg him, right? He heard, and he acted on what he heard. Now, he doesn't believe necessarily, but he heard and said, I got problems. I got problems, and I'm hearing this about Jesus. He sure sounds like he's got a better solution than what I'm dealing with. So I'm going to go to him. And he goes to Jesus, and he says, excuse me, good sir, may I? Is that what he does?
No.
He begs. Do you think he just begged him and said, and that was it?
No.
No. He begged and begged and begged. He was serious. When was the last time you got serious with God? When you begged and begged and begged. Because it was serious. You know, that a thorn in my bicycle tire, I'm probably not going to beg and beg and beg to God. But if it's one of my kids, if it's one of your kids, if it's somebody close and dear to you, you're going to beg and beg and beg. And he was begging because he described his son as what? Close to death. Life gets serious when you're close to death, doesn't it?
Yes.
It gets real. And, you know, so here's Jesus. He hears this guy. He's begging. And what do you think? If you were Jesus, what would you do? You'd say, well, sure, I'll go with you, right? Because that's what you do to heal somebody, right? You go with them. Take me. You know, that's what happened with Jairus' daughter. Jairus comes, my daughter, my little girl is sick. Jesus says, I'll come with you. Because that's what everybody expects. But Jesus throws him a curveball. A real curveball, and says, unless you people, he's saying this to this guy, unless you people see signs and wonders, you will never believe. Sound like anybody you know?
Yes.
Sound like anybody who's talking in front of you right now? Unless we see, right? We got, what is it? What is it? Show me the money, right? Right here, right now. I want to see it. I need an updated proof. It doesn't matter what happened, you know, a few days ago or years ago when you were faithful. Come on, God, right now. Right now. And by the way, not only right now, I do this all the time. I say, God, let me give you an update. You've done this. God, let me give you an update. I know you're busy, but here's my problem. So let me describe my problem and why this is a problem. But God, because I know you and I love you, I want to tell you how to answer this one. I've got it all figured out. Here is the solution. You see, I come from a sales environment, and that's what you do. You identify the pain. You say, this is your problem. Yeah, this is my problem. Isn't this a great day for you? Because I've got what you need. Jesus doesn't say that. Jesus does a reversal and says, man, you all just got to see more. Because he must have, everybody's heard, the word is spread. You know, it's on Twitter, it's on Facebook, it's on Instagram. You know, it's in the news. It's everywhere about everything Jesus had done in Jerusalem. And Jesus is like, again, again. Has God ever said that to you? Again. You got to see it again. That last time wasn't enough, was it? So you need it again. And that's what Jesus is saying, because Jesus is interested in something bigger. What's this man interested in right now? His son. He's interested in his son, right? And that's a thing. That's a big thing. But Jesus has something bigger in mind. And to do that, to get the man to where he's looking at something bigger, he's willing to ask him a difficult question. Think about Jesus. Jesus is at the wedding feast in Canaan, right? And they run out of wine, remember?
Yes.
Who comes to him with the news? Mary, his mother. Mary, the mother, comes to Jesus and says, Sonny boy, they're out of wine. And remember what Jesus said? What does that have to do with me? Woman, not mommy, woman. That's kind of harsh, isn't it? Think about, there's a Syrophoenician. I'm so proud of myself that I said that word right. Syrophoenician woman, she's not a Jew. Her daughter is possessed, and she comes to Jesus and pleads with Jesus to kick out the demon. And what does he say to her? Basically, he calls her a dog. He does. Look it up. But he's doing it because in both those cases, he's more interested in just their little box that they've put God in. They say, God, here's the problem, and here's the solution to this problem. God looks at it, Jesus looks at it and says, yes, I see your problem, but I'm not interested in solving only your problem. I'm interested in something so much bigger. And that's what he is with this man. And the royal official comes and says, sir, come down before my child dies. That's as raw as it gets, isn't it? It really is. Come down before my child dies. He says over and over, come down, come down. Why? Because you got to be there to heal him, right? I mean, that's the way it always, think about all the great healings in the Old Testament. Elijah, Elisha, the guy, they had to be there. So Jesus, you got to come down. So Jesus, here's what we're going to do. We're going to get in an Uber, and we're going to go the 20, 25 miles. I'll walk with you. I'll buy you lunch at Burger King. And then you're going to come and heal my son. Jesus' answer is, go. Your son will live. Your son will live. But I'm not coming. You just go. You just go. This is huge. This is huge. Have you ever bought a car? You ever bought a house? You ever gone to the store and bought a pair of pants? Any of those things, you say, I'm going to go. You know, we need some work done in our house. And so I called up a guy, and he and his son came over. They looked at it, and they gave us an estimate. And you know what? We accepted the estimate. It's going to take them like a week or two to take, you know, we got popcorn sealant. I don't know what you think about popcorn sealants. I hate them. So they're going to take off the popcorn and make it all flat, and then they're going to repaint and do the trim and all this stuff. But guess what? That takes work. That takes time. I was so proud of myself the other day. I got a lawnmower, and the bed that has multiple blades, and it wasn't flat, so it's cutting, and it makes this kind of weird cut in the grass. I am terrible with my hands. There's no place where I can get on my phone and say, fix the lawnmower. And it happens. It takes time, it takes energy, it takes work, but not with God. How did God create the universe? What did he do? He spoke, and that was it. That was enough. Jesus speaks and says, that's enough. He's saying, if I'm really God, you're going to believe this because I speak and I cause the universe to come into being. If I speak and say your son is going to be okay, he is. And he took Jesus at his word. And he didn't just take Jesus at his word. What did he do after that? He went home. Started to go home. And that must have been a long walk. Can you imagine? There's no instant messaging. There's not even putting, you know, a little message in a dove or, you know. No, there's nothing. 20, 25 miles of not knowing, of walking in that terrain. The longest walk of his life. And what has he got? The promise of Jesus, the promise of his words. It must have been the longest walk, the longest night of his life. Do you remember the longest night of your life? You got one of those? The longest night of my life was November 28th. I won't tell you the year. I couldn't sleep all night. I just couldn't sleep. I was anxious, I was afraid, and I don't know how your brain works. My brain doesn't work, but my brain sort of has this thing that it gets on an idea and it won't let go, and you just start going round and round in my head over and over. What did I do? Because the following day I was getting married. And I didn't sleep the whole night before. And I remember the words of someone who, after getting married, sat on the edge of his bed and said, what in the world have I done? But there was this promise that was made, and it was the next day, and I was just... there's this excitement, but there's this anguish. What am I doing? How's it going to work out? Are they going to drop me like a bad habit? Because I was very drop-worthy. And so this guy goes on this long, long walk overnight. You know, they don't have any streetlights, by the way. Traveling that night just wasn't done. Because remember what the roads are like? And so while he's still on his way, his servants meet this guy. And what do they got? They've got news. Remember what news is? Yes. What's news?
Information.
It's information, but it's more a little bit more than just information. Yeah. It's what has already happened. It's something that's already done.
It's past.
So they come with this news, and what's the news? And he's not just limping along, okay? He is fully alive. He is alive. He's healthy. You know, when Jairus' daughter was raised, she got up and walked around the room. I don't know what this kid did. Maybe he went out and played baseball. I don't know. But so, when and so he hears this news. How does he react? What would you do?
Sing and praise the Lord.
You start singing, right? Praising God. Maybe say a prayer. Not this guy. He says, he asked, when was the time that the boy got better? You see, he's thinking it through. And they said to him, when? Yesterday at 1 p.m, the fever left him. That's when it happened. That's when it all came together. Because what happened at 1 p.m. the prior day?
The exact time Jesus said to him, your son will live.
That's the exact moment when Jesus said, your son's going to live. Jesus healed him remotely. Didn't have to be there. And he realized, he came to understand that it was the right exact time. Here he's miles away talking with Jesus. And this boy is healed. And you see, this is why Jesus did it this way, because he didn't just want the boy healed. He wanted something more. So he, the official, and who else? His whole household believed. Jesus is willing to put us through a ringer to get to something bigger. He's not so much interested in little things. He's God. He's interested in big things. Now, yeah, he's interested in the details of our life. Jesus said, I know the number of hairs on your head. And for some of us, that happens quick, but not others. Some of us, you know, he knows all of us. He knows everything about us, the little things. And he's very interested in them. But he wants to leverage those things into bigger things. Yes, he healed this boy, but he was really also interested in the salvation of the man and the entire family. He was interested. You see, that's why Jesus acts sometimes the way he does. He's interested in something bigger. He's interested in a message that goes beyond this. When Jesus, in the Chosen, he's sitting down talking with his disciples because he's trying to get them to understand something bigger.
On the way to Jairus' house in Capernaum, what happened when the woman Veronica touched me?
Power went out from you.
No, I mean, what happened to her?
She was healed.
How?
By touching the fringe of your garment.
No. My friend, you forget so quickly. You are dear to me. But your memories are short.
You said, Doctor, go in peace. Your faith has made you well.
Your what?
Faith.
Her faith. Many of you are afraid right now, instead of choosing to have faith in me.
But, Rabbi, you must see what's happening all around us.
Of course he does. That's the point.
Rabbi, increase our faith.
See, Jesus was not just interested in healing the woman, it was about her faith. Because when you get healed, when does that happen? In a moment. But your faith goes on and on and on and will impact the rest of your life. It'll impact the rest of the things that you say, the things that you do. Jesus says, yeah, I'm interested in healing, but only to lead to something bigger. Jesus says, I'm interested in healing your bodies, your families, whatever, but only if it's going to bring me more glory. Bring glory to God. That's what God is all about. Somebody once told me, I was like, how do I pray? You know, Jesus, I want to pray. I grew up praying, but I really didn't know how to pray. And so they said, you want to pray a prayer that God will answer all the time? I said, yes. I said, yes. Doesn't that sound like a good piece of information to have? If you could have a prayer that you know God's going to answer all the time. And I said, wait a minute. So I was like, let me get my pen out. Okay, I'm ready. I'm going to write it down. Here's the prayer. God will answer this all the time. Yeah, ready. God, do whatever you have to do to bring more glory to yourself. And I said, wait a minute. That's not going to answer my prayer the way I want it. And they said, now you're starting to understand. If God can be more glorified, be more well known through a little bit of pain for a little bit of time, and it's so hard, but say, God, go for it. Because this is just a little bit, this is just a little piece of time right now. We got all eternity. Am I willing to let God do the important things? You see, to Jesus, it was more important not just to heal the boy, but to heal the family, to save the whole family. And yet, it took that night of walking, that night of doubt, to getting to that point so that when he did know it was Jesus at 1 o'clock, he came to faith, and so did his family, his whole household. Jesus is willing to do and use whatever he has to. Now, for some of us, it's a little whisper. Some of us respond, Jesus says this, and whispers in your ear, and you're gone. You're done. You're out. You will follow and obey. Some of us need a little bit more of a push. Some of us need a frying pan upside of the head. That's me. But he does that. He will bring us to a wall in order to get our attention. It's only when some of us hit the wall to say God has a bigger picture. Because our perspective is so little. God's perspective is from eternity past to eternity future. He says, I will do whatever I need to do. And are you willing to come along with it? God has bigger things. Something, sometimes when things happen in our life and you say, why did that happen? You ever say the why question to God? You ever say the why? God says, it's okay to say the question, but don't hang out there. Be like Job. In the last chapter of Job, he transitions. Instead of the why, and this is all the pain, he says, I now know the who. I now know the who. See, that's where God wants you and me. He wants us on the who. That's him. And he will bring trial and tribulation to get us to come to him, like in this scene, again from The Chosen.
Why do you think I allow trials?
I don't know!
They prove the genuineness of your faith. They strengthen you. This is strengthening you. And Eden. Keep your eyes on me.
The trials strengthen us. Doesn't mean we have to enjoy them, but they are there to strengthen us. I don't know if you've ever had any major surgery where you needed to take physical therapy afterwards. There is no fun in physical therapy. Just in case you didn't know, there is no fun. I think I've had 14 procedures. And recovery is no fun. It is not a day at the beach. But the only way to get stronger is through pain. And I apologize for saying that, because our culture says, just drop a pill, just do this, and it's done. Have faith, and you'll get everything you want. Not in this world. Not in this world. Jesus wants you and I, he wants our full attention, and he will do whatever he's got to do. And that may be not only for us, but for the people around us, because God uses us. After Jesus has risen from the dead, Peter has been restored, and he sees John, the one who Jesus loved, walking by. And he says, he sees John and says, well, what about that guy over there? What, you know, and Jesus says, hey, if I want him to stay alive until I come back again, that's what I'm going to do. Why are you so concerned about someone else? Why are we concerned about other people? What they think, what they're doing. Jesus says, if I want to do, what is that to you? You must follow me. You must follow me. That's the whole point. That's why he, when this royal official with the son, I want you to follow me, he's saying to him. And I want your family to follow me. I want that. He will do whatever he needs to do to be actively and have us actively and continually follow Jesus. He will do it. Part of the question is, how hard of a head do we have that he's got to get through? Recent photo, this web telescope went up. I don't know if you can see this. Everybody got excited about this picture because there's a question mark. Okay? It's not a question mark. It's like people, there was a face on Mars. Did you ever remember that one? Everybody, oh, no. This is not a question mark. This is, you know, a couple of, it's a pair of dust clouds that are in a certain shape. You know, but it made a big deal. What's the big deal? The deal is we all have questions about life, don't we? We all of us have those questions, those feelings of emptiness. God, are you there? God, when it hurts, when it really hurts, are you going to be with me? It's like this scene, Josh Lyman has just gone through a tragedy, and he cut his hand by putting it through a window. And he's talking to Leo McGarity.
I didn't cut my hand on a glass. I broke a window in my apartment.
This guy's walking down the street when he falls in the hall. The walls are so steep he can't get out. A doctor passes by and the guy shouts up, hey, you, can you help me out? The doctor writes a prescription, throws it down in the hall, and moves on. Then a priest comes along, and the guy shouts up, Father, I'm down in this hole, can you help me out? The priest writes out a prayer, throws it down in the hall, and moves on. Then a friend walks by. Hey, Joe, it's me, can you help me out? And the friend jumps in the hole. Our guy says, are you stupid? Now we're both down here. The friend says, yeah, but I've been down here before, and I know the way out.
Jesus has jumped down the hole with you and me that we've put ourselves in. He is the only one. You can take all the other religions and faith systems and whatever. None of them have the Lord God of the universe jumping down in the hole with you and me. And when he did that, just like the Father had the sick son, he was willing to do whatever it took. Jesus jumped in the hole to show us the way out, and the way out is through him. We've got to come to the point in our lives that say, you've come down in the hole, I've got to follow you out. In the dark, in that place. God understood the agony of the Father. the father in the story about possibly losing his son, because God the Father actually did lose his son on the cross and paid for you and for me. So what do we do with this? When we've got a problem, what do we do?
Look to the Lord.
How did you know that? We go to Jesus, just like this guy, right? We go to Jesus with the problem. But then we have to then do the next step, which is let Jesus answer on his own terms. His answer may not be my answer. It may not be in the time or the way. And the way that he solves it, I might think is a bigger problem. But he works looking at the end. He wants something bigger than whatever you and I can think of. And thirdly, when he answers in his own terms, in his own way, in his own time, do what that other guy did, this official. He told his family, he told his friends what Jesus had done. How do you think his whole household came to the Lord? He told them. He told this story. It's time for us to let Jesus, who has jumped down in the hole, show us the way out. And as we come out, it's time for us to tell our neighbors and our friends and our family. It's time. This is Labor Day. It's time to get to work for the one who did everything on the cross for you and for me. Would you pray with me? Our Father and our God, I thank you that you took everything on yourself in Jesus, and the burden, the payment of all we have done, all I have done, was fully, once and for all, taken on the cross, forgiven. The sacrifice was once and for all, no more. And in response, in thankfulness, we thank you, we praise you, we say, so how can we respond to our family and friends? Because you have first loved us. In Jesus' name, amen.